Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the National Masterminders Association.
Good morning.
Hello.
This is the International Mastermind, and we are coming to you this morning, every Saturday morning, actually, to talk to you about Think and Grow Rich. We are here every Saturday morning having a live discussion, and we invite you to read along, comment, discuss, and the benefits, and share your ideas on the importance of masterminding. Today, we're going to be talking about masterminding your wealth, and not only your wealth, but your health. We have on the show today Dr. Mariama Williams and Samantha Burton. And Mariama is a PhD, and she is a certified Vedic master with the Chopra Center of Well-Being and the Chopra Center University. She is certified by Drs. Chopra, Deepak Chopra, and David Simmons as a primal sound meditation instructor and a seven spiritual laws of yoga instructor. Samantha Burton, on the other hand, is a certified yoga instructor through Yoga Alliance and the West East Natural Healing Center. Both Samantha and Mariama have significant years in meditation and as yoga instructors. And I would like to welcome both of you on the show this morning, Mariama and Samantha. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, I really, really am glad that you're on. And one of the reasons why we did this is because I guess I have been on this road working in the business life, not only just myself, but all of the people on the Palm Beach Life Planners. And I'm so sorry, I've been so excited about this show, I neglected to introduce our Palm Beach Life Planners. And McNeil is on. She is the CEO of MCO Construction. Betty Knighton, who is also the CEO of Emerge Publishing. Stephanie Ebanks, who is the CEO and principal of Stephamar Travel. Thank you, ladies, for coming on this morning.
Thank you, Sharon. It's Stephanie. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning to you, Betty and Ann. We would like to kick this off. The reason why I introduced this show this morning is because I don't know about the rest of you all, but as I go into different meetings and different things that I am involved in, I'm finding the people that I'm sitting around the table with are becoming younger and younger. And I don't mind showing my gray hair, but what I do mind is the fact that I always have to be on top of my game. I can't have a senior moment. I can't be slow. I have to act and move swiftly, just as swiftly as those 35, 25, and 40 years old around the table. And I have to show my wisdom in life, all right? So, in going through articles about health, which is one of the things that we do in terms of being balanced, we balance our entire life. I'm going through it. I started reading about the fact that we spend so much time behind the computer, so much time in meetings, so much driving to meetings, that it impacts us in terms of our health and in terms of our stamina, in terms of our recall. And I said, yoga and meditation, and listening to Mariama and listening to Stephanie, I'm sorry, I did it again, Samantha, there are things that we could introduce into our lives to help us press forward. So what I would like to do is throw it back to Samantha first and then Mariama, because I know Samantha is only going to be able to be with us for 30 minutes. And I'd like for you to talk to us about why you got into yoga and how yoga has helped a lot of the people that have been in your classes.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking. I actually have always been into kind of new age therapy, stone healing, herbal therapy, but I was never one to exercise. I always avoided that part. So when my sister asked me to go to a yoga class, of course I was hesitant, and I did end up going, and after my very first class, I was bawling and crying in my relaxation, which at the time didn't seem right to me, but now I realized that I was releasing stress, I was releasing emotions, I was, you know, kind of finding myself at that point. So after my first class, I knew that it was much more than a physical practice. It was mental, emotional, it was all-encompassing for me.
Very good. Thank you. Mariama, are you still there? I'd like for you to talk
about... Yeah, I'm listening to Samantha and flashing back, and I think we follow similar path. Like Samantha, I've always been on the edge, sometimes in the middle, sometimes on the margin of New Age. I've followed many different therapies, yoga being one. I've done Tai Chi. I'm a Reiki, not a master, but second or third degree, I don't remember anymore. But I also never liked exercising.
No.
And even though I've taken yoga from college, I would take occasional courses, I just never liked exercising so much. And I think I started doing yoga really seriously after my mom passed away, and I started finding that I was having a lot of issues with my back, my spine. A lot of it from sitting, but also from a lot of weight gain. And I think also just from a lot of the stress, now I realize, of my mom, her illness. And so I had been a meditation teacher for many years before that. And I remember one of my teacher trainee with me in meditation training was always telling me about that how yoga was very good for the spine and the back. So when I started having challenges, there was a yoga studio from my house about 10 minutes or so, and I've passed it for many years. And said, one day I'm going to go. And after my serious crisis with my back, I actually left from the doctor's office, and I drove to the yoga studio, and they were having a 30-day challenge. And I went back home and got my sister Stephanie, who was on the line, and my other sister Faris, and said, let's go do yoga. And believe me, it was very hard. It was very hard, but I actually have not looked back. And I still resist exercise. I still resist even sometimes going to yoga. So I know it's very good for me. And when I'm in the class, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah?
Yes, it's so much more than an exercise. I like to think of it as a way of life, you know.
Right.
Because once you begin your own personal practice, whether you're going to classes or whether you're just being more mindful in your living, you know, you can practice yoga without doing a sun salutation, you know? I think people don't realize that. They think they have to be flexible, and they think they have to balance to do yoga. And that comes with time, but it's more about awareness than it is advancement, you know?
Yeah. It's a very comprehensive system that deals with everything from not just the physical posture, but meditation, about breathing, about social behaviors. I mean, it's quite a compact system. It's a science and an art of living, I think, and it's very, very important in our modern time when we are very much going through quite a lot of stress even that we don't recognize. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
As I go through the classes with Samantha, every time we do a move, Samantha actually talks us through and tells us, which is another thing that jogged my memory of the importance of bringing this on the show. She started talking to us about the importance of every move in terms of what it does for your back, in terms of flexibility. And a couple of times when we were doing the downward dog, you know, she said, well, you know what, this drains or, what is the word? It drains or cleans the lymph nodes. And then she started talking about, and this actually brings blood to your brain, which also brings a lot of different health benefits. Can both of you talk to why it is so important for us to be thoughtful about that, particularly as we are, I don't want to say aging, but going through a different cycle in life, that we have to maintain our game, I guess is what I want to say.
Well, I think in terms of exercise, a lot of people go in with the mentality of no pain, no gain. And they have that, you know, push yourself to the limit idea, which a lot of time ends up in injury. So with yoga, I think that you're more aware, you're more conscious of how your body's feeling while you're practicing. And I try to remind my students whenever I'm teaching them, just take a minute to check in. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. You know, you have to be aware of little kind of cues that your body gives you and find that balance, not too soft, not too hard, but, you know, a bit of a challenge, but not too strenuous so that you're able to come back and practice tomorrow and you're able to get up and function normally and not feel like, you know, you've lifted a 300-pound weight above your head without stretching your shoulders out first.
Yeah. I think one of the most important thing about yoga is that when you do that 30-minute or 60-minute or 90-minute, it's for many people the only time of the day when they're totally functioning mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that's the essence of what people are now calling mindfulness, that when you're in the yoga pose, the whole body, whole system is engaged. And you also are meditating if you're paying particular attention to what you're doing in the pose. And so it's very, very important, that mindfulness. And one of the things I've learned about yoga is that whatever happens to you in the yoga, on the yoga mat, is a reflection of what's going on in your life. And you also bring that in your life. I find that when I'm in balance in the class and I can do my postures, that's great. But when I'm not in balance, I also find that in my life and in my day-to-day life, there's something going on with the balance. Also, so I learn diagnostics also, if you're paying particular attention to it. So it's really important. Whether you start your day with it or end your day with it, it really is a good way, I think, apart from all of the other benefits we could talk about, it's where you get that mindfulness about your being, your mind, your body, your spirit.
Yes, thank you for reminding me about that, Mariama. Sometimes I'm worried about my students, and you tend to forget yourself sometimes. But yes, it explains my lack of balance yesterday because of the flooding in my basement I had.
Samantha?
Yes.
Can you tell me, this is Stephanie Ebanks, can you tell me one of your favorite poses that you use, or is there a favorite, or is there something that you... And
love balance poses in general because I think that it calms my mind. And if I can find a spot on the ground or a candle to focus on and I'm using my concentration, it doesn't matter where I'm at, whether I'm outside, whether I'm in a class with 30 people, whether I'm standing and brushing my teeth. I kind of just zone out and tune in, and it becomes very meditative for me. So balance
and
poses
for those
in general.
Aware, for those of us not aware, what are some of the balance poses? What do you consider a balance pose? I know everybody
pose.
Knows downward facing dog and sun salutation, but what are some other poses?
Okay. Tree pose is my favorite, also half moon and dancer.
Cosmic dancer. I've never heard of that one.
It comes as a couple different names, just dancer pose.
Okay.
Any
understanding zones, poses I really enjoy.
Okay,
the ones I don't like are the abdominal poses.
Yeah. My favorite yoga pose is called Savasana.
Yes, yes. Right, definitely. And child's pose. I definitely like that one, too.
Where you're laying on the floor after you've done your pose. And that's really where the body takes over. While you're doing the pose, the mind, body are doing all the wonderful things. But the healing from yoga, as I think with most exercise, comes when you're in rest. Because that's when the body now takes over and it transcribes and transforms whatever you're doing. So that very particular pose, which many of us in the West have a difficulty just lying still, not twisting, not moving.
I was just going to say, I think that might be one of the most challenging poses out there sometimes.
Yeah. But that's where a lot of the healing occurs, and that's where it's very important to rest between your pose. And we do that a lot in many of the yogas to try to rest. So it's not like... I mean, running has its own physiological things and dynamics.
Yes.
But in yoga, we rest in between the pose, even if it's for a couple of seconds, and that rest is very important. It's where the mind and the body integrate and process what you've done, and the healing begins.
Okay, and with this, I'd like to do our first commercial break, the second commercial break, and would like to come back and continue with this conversation. It's very, very important. Thank you very much, and we shall go to commercial break, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the blog. For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we're back. Mariama and Samantha were in a very, very interesting and good conversation about the various poses and the health benefits of each pose. Is there anyone else who would like to participate in this conversation? Otherwise, I think...
Sharon, this is Betty. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, thanks to Samantha and Mariama for being on to share with us this morning. And I'd like to ask Samantha a question. In your bio, you mentioned that after your first yoga class, you had a tremendous release of emotion and possible anxiety. And that's information that we all need to know how to deal with being anxious. For example, like preparing for a speech or getting ready to deliver a speech, or it could be someone preparing a proposal for a big contract that they want. Or it could be, like in my case, trying to juggle two businesses, being a wife, being a mother, and being the overall go-to person in my family. That's a lot to have to juggle and balance. So I would like for Samantha to talk to us about how yoga brings calm and how it brings clarity. I don't know if I'm using the right terminology because I don't know that much about yoga, but if you could address that for me, please.
Well, as Mariama mentioned earlier, the mindfulness aspect that comes when you're practicing yoga, by just being aware of your breathing and keeping yourself in that present moment, instead of thinking about the past, thinking about the future, you're in that exact moment where you should be, rather than dealing with three different things at one time, you're dealing with just the present moment. And calm your nervous system, you're keeping calm everything by just controlling your breath. If the breath is controlled, the mind is steady. If the breath is uncontrolled, the mind wanders off. So you can even compare this to a stressful situation, your fight or flight mode. When you go into fear, what starts happening? Your heart is racing, you're breathing heavy, you're sweating, your pupils are dilated, your adrenals are in overdrive. So by being aware of that,
taking a few cleansing and clearing breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, has a therapeutic and calming effect on the nervous system. And then from there, you can kind of just check in, remember where you're at, remember what you're doing, why you're doing it, and just kind of take charge of the situation. Does that help at all?
Yeah. And I think, and that's very, very much so. And I guess some very simple things that we can do. There are sometimes we forget to actually breathe when
yes.
we're so stressed. So we need to, you need to be very particular when you have those stressful moments to actually consciously breathe, because our body does it for us all the time, and so we're not even aware of it. But the new science is showing that there's an awful lot of our body systems that we actually can control, and the new modern science is now showing that a lot of the neurological system is not as fixed and as immutable as we thought, that we have
mm-hmm.
the ability to change and to grow. This is called neuroplasticity. So, Betty, when you are stressed, you simply stop, take a nice deep breath, a couple of nice deep breaths, very slowly inhaling and very slowly exhaling. And sometimes you can even hold at the top of the breath and release. And you'll be surprised that how just that simple technique of really consciously, proactively breathing. Because when you are stressed, everything gets tight, as Samantha says, and you're not focusing, you're not concentrating as well as you should be. So if you take a deep breath, you literally, in particular, like I like to say, if you take like in martial arts, people, they stand, right? And you stand, your feet slightly apart, hips over knees,
mm-hmm.
shoulder, very balanced, everything. You bring the intellect under control, you bring everything all at once, and you take a couple of deep breaths, and you would be amazed how creative you could be, and how focused and how energetic you could be, and how you're instantly able to tap into the sources around you. Because many times we have the answer to the problem, but we're so busy and the mind is racing. We have 80,000 thoughts each day. Sometimes it's all the same thoughts, same things that we think about. But when you stop and take that time to breathe and to really focus and get control of, get the mind and the body to be functioning as one, then you have that inner resource. You could go deeper into the inner resource. So I think that's a really good practice. And you could do it sitting. You could do it standing. Just a nice, take focused, nice deep breath, expanding the abdominal area, and then releasing fully. So we don't breathe completely, most of us. You need deep, complete breath whenever you can.
Yeah, I always like to say, think of your breath as a metaphor for how you live your life. So if you are allowing yourself to breathe more deeply, then you're living more deeply, you're living more fully. If you're being more mindful of your breath, then you're more mindful of your living. So it's a metaphor, you know, you can kind of
yep.
relate the two together. It's one of the most important functions of the body next to the heartbeat.
Yep. I remember.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Yeah, the American Lung Association used to have a saying. It says, "When you can't breathe, nothing else matters. The breath
right?
is life." Yeah.
Yeah.
The breath is life. You know.
Yeah.
And it's very important. It brings not just oxygen and takes out carbon dioxide, but it also brings vital energy. It's restorative. It has the planetary forces, what we call prana in yoga, or what they call chi in the martial arts. It's that vital energy. And when we breathe, we're breathing all of those, and we energize the physical body, the mental body, and the spirit body. And it also opens you up to your spiritual experience, whatever that is for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Very good conversation. It gets to the depth of exactly why I wanted to have this call. Are there any other comments? If not, I would like for it, because the reason why I just found this so exciting, you guys, both Mariama and Stephanie. I know that Samantha, I don't know why I keep calling you Stephanie, Samantha has to go in about 5 or 6 minutes, but what exactly you talked about, and this is the thing that I think people hear, and it's this kind of conversation that drives the depth of why you step back and you start doing the meditation. Mariama has led us in meetings, and she always pulls us back and say, wait a minute, we have to breathe. We have to come in contact with ourselves for a few minutes, and then we'll move forward. And so if you start your day off like that, it's exactly what the two of you said, that you come in one and you calm everything, and everything that you think about becomes very clear. I know that probably Ann and Betty have to go too, but we still have 5 more minutes before we go to commercial break. And if it is all possible, I would like for either Betty or Ann to talk about their meditation time before they have to get off, and the importance of their meditation time and how it sets the program for the rest of the day. Betty or Ann, can you come on?
Yes, sure. Thank you so very kindly. Samantha and Mariama, Stephanie and Sharon, thank you all for scheduling and strategically preparing for the show this morning, because I think that this subject is something that we seldom think about when we talk about our health being our wealth, because all we have is energy. And when you think about the fact that if we don't study how that energy works, then we're not really on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment experiencing the joy of really being alive. And so I can just speak for myself personally. That starts with when I rise, and I'm a very early riser, but then again, I go to bed early too, and I get up about 4. And when I get up, first when I wake up, I just begin to praise and just thank God for allowing me to see another day, but also to breathe. And when you think about just thanking God, Spirit, for breath, and from there, of course, I go to the bathroom. I won't get into those details. But I do a little stretching in terms of I mix Tai Chi and yoga together about 5. You know, just things that I have learned that I've seen that work for me. And I'm getting a little noise in the background, a little movement. But I do what works for me in terms of mixing the two together, but just to begin to breathe. And from that breathing, I then began to do what Julia Cameron suggests in her book, The Artist's Way. I then began to do my daily journaling of morning pages, of 3 pages a day, which I affectionately call them my daily date with myself. So every morning I have a date with myself. And that date with myself really takes about 1 hour, sometimes 2 hours before I leave home. And it includes my daily journaling, which is really like a mind dump. It's like a brain dump. Whatever's on my mind from day before or whatever I need to do, whatever's there, I release it on the page. And when I coach, I encourage people and think about the fact that every morning we get up and we relieve our bodies, but seldom do we stop and take the time to relieve our mind on the page, to relieve our spirit on the page. And so from journaling on the page, then I begin to go to my reading. I love to read a proverb a day. And then I also read something in the the book is called Utmost for Your Highest, for my highest. And then I began to read something in Prosperity by Charles Fillmore. And I listen to Louise Hay also, very low, very, you know, as I'm moving through preparing to do my shower. I have her playing in the background as I'm daily taking my shower. So I am entering my day. I'm commanding my day. I'm preparing my day before I physically enter the day before leaving. So that's kind of how I start my day. Thank you so very much.
Steph, Samantha,
I'm going to, I know that you have to go, and what I would like for you to do is to respond to Anne's comments, if you have comments, and then I'd like for you to give your parting sum up and wrap up that you would like for us, which you would like to leave for us. And then after Samantha does her closing comments, we're going to go to commercial, and we will come back again to continue this discussion.
Okay, well, I did want to say thank you for reminding me about the journaling, because I was so good about writing and keeping a journal whenever I was a teenager, and then again when I first started my yoga path, but I have definitely fallen on the wayside as far as keeping track of myself and having that date with myself. And I think it's very important to do that self-care. And as teachers and as mothers and, you know, spouses and siblings and everything, a lot of times we are doing for everyone and we neglect ourselves a lot. So to have that self-date and to have that time just to check in with yourself and write down what's going on in your life and why are you feeling like this and what simple steps can you do today to make tomorrow better? So in closing, I would like to say that I do think that yoga gets intimidating for some. People think, well, I'm not flexible, I can't do yoga, or I don't have the balance, or maybe I'm too overweight. And I think that when you come to yoga in terms of mindfulness, it's not all about the physical practice. So that makes yoga so accessible to anyone, to someone in a wheelchair, to a 100-year-old woman, to a 5-year-old boy. You know, it can be broken down to anyone's level or challenged to meet your needs. You know, I think it's for anyone, and you can make it simplified, you can make it challenging, you can just simply breathe, and that right there is yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you very much. And she summarized that very well. And I'm just going to add this one point, and then I'm going to go to commercial. In several of Samantha's classes, we had young people come in. Young girls, young boys, they were quite buff and quite muscular and quite beautiful, body-wise. Mm-hmm. And in the class, so the rest of everyone else was probably between 35 on up to 65. But in watching the young people, they were inflexible because they'd exercised to become buff. They did not have stability because they never quieted their mind. They couldn't do any of the poses for very long, and they could not participate in the flow. And it's largely because they never slowed their mind down. I stopped to ask them, why did you all come? Glad that you came, but why did you come? The boy said, we saw all these young girls coming in here, and we were in here following the girls. The girl said, it was a free class, and we thought, heck, let's just do it. But they never thought about the why and the long-term benefit. So it is for the long haul. It is not something mm-hmm. that you do for the short term. It is for the longevity of it all and the goodness of your whole well-being. So I want to thank Samantha for coming on. It was a great discussion, and hopefully you will come back. And now we will go to commercial, and we will come back, and we continue our conversation on wellness and health.
Thank you all for having me. I hate to leave so soon, but I will definitely be back.
Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha.
Taking your class. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we're back. We still have Mariama on the line, and I'd like to remind you that Mariama is certified as not only a yoga instructor, but as a meditation instructor. She has led us in a number of yoga exercises. She has held yoga sessions with corporate leaders, female corporate leaders, personally, and nationally and internationally. So I would like for us to come back with and talk with Mariama, or Dr. Mariama Williams. Thank you very much, Mariama, for staying with us for the rest of the time.
All right. Thank you, Sharon. And I wanted to say that I don't know if your listener is aware, just amazing the technology and the strength and the reach of International Mastermind, that you had a program that had somebody from Missouri, somebody based in Geneva, Switzerland, people in West Palm Beach, and that this is such a fantastic thing. You had two continents and at least two or three states, and I think that's so amazing, the technology. And yoga is an amazing technology for the body, mind, and spirit. Likewise, there's the other technologies that we use, and we must use it.
Absolutely. And you know, this is the thing that you and Samantha brought up. You know, when we were young, and I think, you know, Ann, I don't know if Ann is still on the line or not, but this is the one thing that Ann and Betty talked to us one time in one of our meetings, that obviously when we are young, we use the quickness of our mind and the strength of our body to win, to excel. And then you become a mother. Then you become a father. And then you still are using what you have, your wit, your wisdom, and you start growing in wisdom. But then after you get older, you start using more wisdom and more wisdom. But what we need to do is concentrate, even as younger, with the wisdom, the mental and spiritual, combining those two. How much farther would we be if we did that? So it's really important. I just wanted to bring that up because you and Samantha touched on that. And if you could expand on that a little bit more, and I think Stephanie has a comment about, you know, that is brought up in the book Think and Grow Rich, in terms of the different phases that we go into life, particularly as we age. So I'd like to go back to Mariama first and then possibly Stephanie if she wants to bring in her comment.
All right.
Well, I think it's normal, like, for life. If we look at the amazingness about life, the life, we go through seasons, we go through cycles, the trees, the plants, the animals, we go through various kinds of metamorphosis, various kinds of growth. And the one thing that we know for sure is that growth is always occurring. Sometimes it's very gradual, sometimes we have radical shifts. And we as humans, we go through these life cycles. And each of these life cycles are distinct for us, but they don't have to be regretful. They don't have to keep us looking back to the past. Each life cycle we accept with gratitude, and we learn how to fine-tune it and how to move forward. And walking, yoga, meditating, Tai Chi, we have so much at our disposal that our forefathers and foremothers didn't have. And yet many of them live very long, healthy lives. And part of the reason why many of them live very long, healthy lives, even on a very stressful situation, was because they were moving their bodies, okay? They did not spend the amount of time we spend sitting, watching TV, doing everything. They were physically active. And I think the science is now coming around. Even governments in the UK are now saying, stay active, keep moving, that our lifestyle, our present lifestyle, is not conducive to the optimization of our physical structure and our mind and body. So to keep active. So we keep active at each cycle. You don't have to be a teenager, even though there's some older people who have the bodies of teenagers and can do the athletics of teenagers because they haven't allowed themselves to sing. And so we don't let age be a barrier. You can be as young as you want, even as old as you are chronologically, because your biology can be the biology of a younger person. It's a matter of mind over matter. It's a matter of keeping the body active and engaged. So if you're walking, you walk. You walk actively while you're walking. You're breathing. You're looking around you at nature. You're expressing gratitude for the things around you. If you are a runner, you run, and runners sometimes go into a zone where it's almost as if they're meditating, which is why some people like running. If you're swimming, you swim also like that. Yoga is a technique, a technology that is good for the whole body. It improves all aspects of your health, including your nerves, your digestive, and your neurological system. And it's something that can be used at any age and at to any stage. For when you're ill or you're not feeling well, there are very different kinds, there are many different kinds of yoga, and it's up to each of us to take many classes and experiment and find the one that's good for us. There's some practice of yoga that is good for you one day, because one day you get up and you feel very energetic, one day you get up and you feel less optimistic. But if you just start by breathing, moving the spine in four directions, you can move your spine in four directions, to the right, to the left, forward, backward, you stretch and you breathe. You are automatically helping your system. You're helping your respiratory system. You're helping your neurological system. You're helping your digestive system. So some very simple things that we can do through any of our lifestyle. And if you observe children, sometimes there's a little baby that I live with, and in the mornings I see him, I said, you're a real yogi, right? He's got his foot in his mouth. He's, you know, at his all over the place. I'm like, no, that is a yogi, you know? And if we look at cats and dogs, they stretch. And that's why many of the yogic pose tend to have counterpart in nature. We talk about tree pose. It's a balance like the tree. The tree stands firm, but not so firm that if a wind comes, it knocks it over. The tree actually moves with the wind. A downward dog, that's a dog stretches, right? We have cat pose where the cat stretches up its back, rounding out the spine. That's also good for you. Right? Helping to align the spine. So there are many of the different poses. We have various poses, eagle pose, all of these various poses that are modeled from nature. So if we look around, if you look at a young baby when they're sleeping, you will see how you should breathe correctly. They breathe fully. Belly, the abdomen expands, and then when they exhale, abdomen go all the way in. So we have all of those things we've forgotten, and life gets really stressful and we run so hard. But we can always come back. That's the thing. We can always come back. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you are. As you said, with the young people, they may look very buff, but flexibility and balance is not there, not always. Something you have to work on, mind, body, spirit.
And you're right, exactly right. And that's the one thing that even when we work with the youth in the International Mastermind, it is something that we try to talk to them about. And I bring it up with you all the time. It is so important to be in tune with your mind, to journal what your thoughts are, and to quiet your mind. Because people only talk to them. What did Samantha say in terms of... no pain, no gain. I don't believe in no pain, no gain for anything in the world. You build up to those types of things. You build up to them because you do not need to hurt your body. So I just wanted to bring that in. And while we're at this point, I'd like to bring another commercial break, and then I'd like to come back. I'd like to come back with Stephanie because I believe Stephanie has a comment, and I have another caller that has a question. So let's do the next commercial, and then we'll come back with the caller with the last numbers of 0906.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Thank you very much. I see that we have a caller with the last four digits of 0906 that has a question that has raised their hand. I have opened your mic. Would you like to speak?
Yes, I'm calling in a little concerned with the age over 50 and doing the yoga. Is there also vitamins or herbs of some type that will help to get things moving, to get you feeling like get in the mood?
Okay, so I'm not a doctor nor a nutritionist, so I do think supplements have a place. But you could take a lot of vitamins and mineral, but if you're not eating properly and you're not breathing well and you're not doing your exercise, then it doesn't metabolize very well. So combination and I think moderation in everything. I am over 50. I started practicing yoga when I was over 50. So the age is not a problem. It's a mind thing. So that's why I'm saying when you get up in the morning, you start by just doing some stretches, even in your bed. You simply stretch out, point your feet forward, flex the feet, raise your leg, exercise your knee, raise your arm, sit up, stretch up, use your right arm to grab a hold, to hold onto your left arm, and you pull it behind your head, and you open up your lungs from the side, and you take a nice deep breath. Then you reverse, you take the left arm, left wrist, and you hold on to the elbow of the right arm, and you again stretch up, and you keep breathing. And there are many ways of just simply breathing, stretching, and going to a yoga class is just go explore. Many times we close our mind. We say, oh, I can't do that. I don't want to do that, without actually going and exploring. Go to a yoga class. There are many different ones. There are yoga class for seniors, there are yoga class for people who are not well, there are yoga class for babies, there are yoga class for teenagers. There are many different styles. It is not a complicated process. We say yoga is for anybody. You're never too old, never too young, never too sick to start again and, you know, to do things. Even people who are over in 60 are going back to college. So you're never. It's a matter of your mind over body. So I think, yes, you should find appropriate vitamins and find ones that work for you. Experiment. Not all of the vitamins out there on the market are really good. Some are much better. You have to experiment with these things. But mainly the source of everything is to drink water. You know, when you get up in the morning, try to drink at least 2 glasses of water if you can. There's a bit of disagreement. Some people say drink it cold. Some people say drink it warm. Whatever is tolerable for you. But that helps to move out all the things that your body, and remember, your body's been processing all night. If you went to bed properly, your body's been eliminating, it's been cleansing, and it's a way to get that moving out of your system. And then when you do your stretching and your breathing, that also gets the joint. You stretch your fingers, you try to get the joint, and you just go and listen to your body. See where there might be pain or spots of coldness or things that are not working, and you simply breathe into it. The breath is our friend. The breath is one of the most essential things that we have. It helps to metabolize food. It helps to give vitality. So as long as we breathe, nice, deep, full belly breathing, exhale, inhale. Also, check yourself out. See what side, see how your breath is. See if you're breathing fully. Sometimes the left nose is kind of blocked. Sometimes the right nose is kind of blocked. Just check yourself out. Breathe and see what's going on. And walk. If that's all you do, it's walking. But yoga is a system of healing consisting of the physical properties, the asanas or the moves that we do, really were meant for you to be able to sit and meditate. Right, it's a way for getting the body limber, so you could sit for a while and meditate. But it's also about breathing, right? And a good yoga class will actually take you through some breathing, either at the beginning or at the end, as well as the physical postures. So I encourage you to try it.
Very good. Thank you very much. I thought that was an excellent comment. Stephanie, did you have, it seems to me that we talked earlier and you had a, something that you wanted to bring up to Mariama. Would you do that now?
Oh, yes. I was just going to check with the caller to make sure she had her questions answered and if she wanted to ask another question before we continued on.
She did a very well job by answering it.
Good. I'm glad we're able to assist you there. You know, one of the things that we fear as we grow old is the fear of old age. And one of the things that, namaste, the simple principle in India of saying, basically, the light in me salutes the light in you. And as we grow old, we forget to be mindful of that light in us. And I actually would like, we read, use Think and Grow Rich as a part of our everyday life. It's a part of our Bible, along with our second Bible, along with our first Bible, the real Bible. One of the things in Think and Grow Rich is they talk about the symptoms of fear of old age, that we tend to fear getting old. And that I just want to read a brief thing here in Think and Grow Rich about the fear of old age. The tendency to slow down and develop an inferiority complex at the age of mental maturity, around the age of 50, falsely believing oneself to be slipping because of age. The truth is that one of the most useful years mentally and spiritually are between 50 and 60. But we tend not to see that. And also we have a habit of being very apologetic. Oh, I'm getting old. Everything is, well, because of I'm old and I forget. And I do it a lot myself. I become, I have this thing called cars. Can't remember, what. And every time something goes wrong, I'm like, oh, I've got cars. Or don't expect anything from me. I've got cars because I'm in my 50s. When in fact, I should be celebrating my 50s and enjoying those the wisdom and the spirituality that comes from getting older. Because that brings knowledge. And the other day, I also saw a piece on the blurb on the news. I did not read the entire article. It was about a 100-year-old woman breaking a swimming record. And I was so congratulatory for that person. I'm like, I'm just so impressed that someone did not slow down because I think they couldn't because of the number in their years. Because it's not the number. It's about the mentality of our years and how we think. And if we think we're young, we're young. If we think we're old, and we're done. So try to remember that, the habit, and one of the things that Napoleon Hill said, the habit of killing off initiative, imagination and self-reliance by falsely believing oneself too old to exercise these qualities. The habit of a man or woman of 50 or 60 dressing with the aim of trying to appear much younger and affecting mannerisms of youth, thereby inspiring ridicule by friends and strangers. And I'm going to stop there and see if anybody else has a question. I see we have, I'm not sure if the young lady's raising her hand to ask another question or if that's just from the past. But, we are who we think we are. And that is the bottom line. We are who we think we are. Sharon?
I would like to follow up on what you just said, because also in there, and I think in one of my opening comments, I said, when I'm in meetings, I am seeing people that are getting younger and younger. I said, what is going on? And so the deal is this. I hear other people talk, and there is a great distrust that you start building about, someone's trying to take my place, because that's what you do in business. You try and say, oh, shoot, where am I going to go to get my next promotion? And sometimes younger people say, oh, by knocking that person off. You start getting that idea of, distrust. And so in Namaste, I think you brought up the fact of the light in me sees the light in you. And one of the things that I see in Mariama all the time is she always sees the light. Mariama deals with people internationally, and I'd like for her to talk about that, using the light in me that sees the light in you and how you use that in what you do every day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think namaste is a greeting that comes way back from in India. But I think in even a lot of culture, when people say hello, that's one of the things I find that is very interesting here in Geneva, that the Swiss people, when they see you in the morning, it doesn't matter if you're a stranger. It used to draw me back a bit, and they'll say, "Bonjour, madame." And I was like, "Who?" And Bonjour. They see you, it's the first thing in the morning. You don't care who you are. Bonjour. You're saying hello. You're recognizing that another being is in front of you. Because if we believe the Bible, that we are all wonderful and beautiful made, and we're made in the image of the Lord, then everybody that you come into is an aspect of that. So when you say namaste, you're saying the light in me or the spirit in me recognizes the spirit in you or the light in you. And we should all have the sparkle of that light in us that smiles when we see another being, right? And so that's one of the essential purpose of it. And if you start your day the way that Anne and all of us have been talking about, when you go out, you have that. And sometimes that's what we give to the world. You may not have $1 million. You may not have a lot of stuff, but you can give a smile. You could give a good morning. You can make somebody may not feel very good, and you smile at them. You say, "Hello, how are you? You're looking very good today. I like that necklace you have on. I like that shirt." And make a person's day amazing. So we have that power within us to actually bring comfort and to bring smiles to other people's eyes. And that's, in a way, why we're God-like in those sense, right? So I think that's the fundamental thing, is to recognize that we have the spirit in us and we must share and give that spirit. And in our culture, unfortunately, that we don't value old age, we tend to throw it aside. But in most cultures of the world, Native American, India, China, age is wisdom. Age is part of that. Having your grandparents around you, having older people around you to transmit and share is part of that life. And so we must start valuing that in ourselves. If we don't respect ourselves and think that we have anything to value, to offer, then we transmit that to people around us. But once we are with ourselves, we know that we have things to contribute. We go out in the world like that. We do what we need in the morning when we get up, our practice, we say our prayers, we do our rituals, and we feel good about ourselves. We walk out in the world, and we convey that amongst the people that we meet. And I think that's one of the fundamental things in this world where people sometimes are so isolated, that to have a smile on your face. But to have a smile on your face, you also need to feel good about yourself, and you need to feel good, and you need to recognize that you have more control about your body than you think you do. And some of those controls mean just stretching in the morning, going up on your tiptoe, reaching up your arms, opening and closing your eyes, taking nice, deep, full belly breathing, laughing, putting things on that makes you laugh. All of the science is now parting that we have so much around us that can make us laugh. Go out, look at the plant, look at the tree, look how they grow, how beautiful they are. I love trees. I think in a former life I could have been a hugging of trees. I think trees are so beautiful. They're so majestic. They're there, especially the older ones that have always been there. They've seen so much. But more important, they keep us alive. They exchange the prana, the energy with us. And we're constantly exchanging energy with each other. And we have to recognize that if we leave a house and nobody lives in that house falls apart, right? So we are very important in the universe. We connecting with each other, with the universe, we are quite important, you know. We don't control everything, but we are important. We're important for each other, and it's very important. I think yoga, meditation, all of these things, we're looking for smarter ways and new technologies, new ways of living. And these are some of the techniques that are being revived. But fundamentally, we have this knowledge within us. And sometimes you see it when sometimes you have a headache, you're holding onto your head, right? So if you just press it back a little bit, take a nice deep breath with intention that, if my brain is constricted, the blood needs to flow, breathe, breathe. You rub your temple. Those are acupuncture points.
So we do a lot of things unconscious because we don't understand the energy system of the body. But the body knows. The older people used to do lots of things that now science is proving. You rub your temple. That's an acupuncture point. You're rubbing your chest. Your acupuncture point right below your clavicle. You just rub them. You could do what we call tapping. It's a now new thing. You simply tap on the eyebrow, and you tap on the side of the eyes. You tap under your lips, and you tap under the chin, and you tap your whole hand around your shoulder. It around your heart. It reinvigorates. You tap under your arm. You can see sometimes children will do some of these things. We have the technology. We have the techniques to revitalize our energy and our bodies. And
Mariama?
Simple. Yes.
Mariama, I want to thank you so much for our show. I want to thank you because, you know what, I was going to say that I wanted you to wrap up, but in fact, you have done that in the last few minutes. Our show is getting ready to end, so now I would like to end with a commercial break. But first, I would like to thank both Samantha Burton for coming on the show and giving us her wisdom in terms of the importance of yoga and what it does for starting our day and extending our life. I particularly want to thank Dr. Mariama Williams for continuing that conversation and tell us about the importance of breathing and the importance of meditation and how we reflect and how we connect in life with one another and with nature and what that does with the flow of our life and the extension of that in terms of our family and our business life. And I want to thank you, and I want to close the show with a commercial and invite you for next week as we continue the conversation with reviewing Think and Grow Rich, the International Mastermind Concept, as Stephanie said, our second Bible, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.